Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Bab Metzia, Daf Nun, the fourth Perek HaZahav. This Perek has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, in the Mishnah, the Rabban taught that one may claim onah by a sixth until enough time passed to show the purchase to a merchant or relative. The Gemara asks, Pachas Mishtosko Rabban, regarding fraud of less than a sixth, according to the Rabban, Alter Havi Machila, is the wave of the deviation immediate and it cannot be claimed, or Bechadesha Yer Latagar El Krova, or only after enough time for him to show it to a merchant or his relative? The Gemara attempts to resolve the question from the Mishnah, in which the Tagare Lod, merchants of Lod, initially rejoice when Rabbi Tarfon ruled Onah to be a third, but returned to the Rabban when Rabbi Tarfon extended the time limitation to an entire day. If less than Onah has a time limitation, we understand why they returned to the Rabban, whose time allowance is shorter. But if Mechila is immediate, Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is still better for them, since an overcharge by less than a third is waived immediately according to him. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Tarfon considers any amount between a sixth and a third equivalent to the Rabban's sixth and subject to his longer time limitation. Pointing to the Gemara asks, Bitul Mekach Rabban, regarding the voidance of a sale, according to the Rabban, meaning a deviation greater than a sixth, Lo'olam Chozer, can he retract forever? Or Dimba Kadesha Yar L'Tagar L'Krova, or perhaps only until enough time for him to show the purchase to a merchant or his relative. The Gemara attempts a resolution with the merchants of Lod, returning to the Rabban's position after Rabbi Tarfon extended the window for Onah claims to an entire day. If more than Onah has a time limit, Rabbi Tarfon's extension to an entire day for over a sixth, compared to the Rabban's short window, harms him more than they gain by an exact sixth, which he considers waived. But if there's no time limit for more than Onah, Rabbi Tarfon's system is still preferable, since the Rabban system allows retracting for deviations above a sixth indefinitely. The Gemara answers that an overcharge above a sixth is uncommon, so the benefit of the Rabban's shorter time limit at exactly a sixth outweighs the disadvantage of a deviation greater than a sixth. And point number three, Rav said the halacha is that for less than a sixth, the sale is valid and the deviation is waived immediately. If it's greater than a sixth, the sale can be voided. If the deviation is a sixth, the sale is valid, but he returns the difference. These last two claims must be made before enough time elapses to show the purchase to a merchant or relative. This ruling is supported by a brice which teaches these laws about deviations less or more than a sixth, and presents a malchokas about the law of exactly a sixth. Rabbi Nassin says, Shtus kana umaksir ona, regarding exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but he must return the fraud amount. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Yad Mocher al Yona, the seller, if he's the defrauded party, has the upper hand. If he wants, he may say, give me back my merchandise and void the sale, or he can say, give me the amount you defrauded me. Rava rules like Rabbi Nassin, although the Mishnah Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph follows Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's opinion. So once again, the three points are number one. In the Mishnah, the Rabban taught that one may claim Onah by a sixth until enough time passed to show the purchase to a merchant or relative. The Gemara asks, Pachas Mishtosko Rabban, regarding fraud of less than a sixth, according to the Rabban, La'alter Havi Machila, is the wave of the deviation immediate and it cannot be claimed, or Bechadesha Yer L'Tagar El Krova, or only after enough time for him to show it to a merchant or his relative? The Gemara attempts to resolve the question from the Mishnah, in which the Tagare Lod, merchants of Lod, initially rejoice when Rabbi Tarfon ruled Onah to be a third, but returned to the Rabban when Rabbi Tarfon extended the time limitation to an entire day. If less than Onah has a time limitation, we understand why they returned to the Rabban, whose time allowance is shorter. But if Mechila is immediate, Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is still better for them, since an overcharge by less than a third is waived immediately according to him. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Tarfon considers any amount between a sixth and a third equivalent to the Rabban's sixth and subject to his longer time limitation. Pointing to the Gemara asks, Bitul Mekach Rabban, regarding the voidance of a sale, according to the Rabban, meaning a deviation greater than a sixth, Lo'olam Chozer, can he retract forever? Or Dimba Kadesha Yar L'Tagar L'Krova, or perhaps only until enough time for him to show the purchase to a merchant or his relative? The Gemara attempts a resolution with the merchants of Lod, returning to the Rabban's position after Rabbi Tarfon extended the window for Onah claims to an entire day. If more than Onah has a time limit, Rabbi Tarfon's extension to an entire day for over a sixth, compared to the Rabban's short window, harms him more than they gain by an exact sixth, which he considers waived. But if there's no time limit for more than Onah, Rabbi Tarfon's system is still preferable, since the Rabban system allows retracting for deviations above a sixth indefinitely. The Gemara answers that an overcharge above a sixth is uncommon, so the benefit of the Rabban's shorter time limit at exactly a sixth outweighs the disadvantage of a deviation greater than a sixth. And point number three, Rava said the halacha is that for less than a sixth, the sale is valid and the deviation is waived immediately. If it's greater than a sixth, the sale can be voided. If the deviation is a sixth, the sale is valid, but he returns the difference. These last two claims must be made before enough time elapses to show the purchase to a merchant or relative. This ruling is supported by a brisa which teaches these laws about deviations less or more than a sixth and presents a machlokas about the law of exactly a sixth. Rabbi Nassin says, Shtus kana umaksir ona. Regarding exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but he must return the fraud amount. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Yad mocher al yona. The seller, if he's the defrauded party, has the upper hand. If he wants, he may say, give me back my merchandise and void the sale, or he can say, give me the amount you defrauded me. Rava rules like Rabbi Nassin, although the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph follows Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's opinion. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun, and our standard Siman is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The count, who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight, was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract, while another passenger who overpaid for headphones by exactly a sixth was given a choice to either demand a refund of the difference or void the sale. So once again, slow motion. The count, who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight, that must be on Daf Nun. The count, who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight, which reminds us one cannot demand a refund when one's overcharged by just under a sixth, and the Gemara brings the instant with the Tagare load, the merchants of load. So, the count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that one who overpays by more than a sixth has all the time in the world to retract. So, the count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract. While another passenger who overpaid for headphones by exactly a sixth was given a choice to either demand a refund of the difference or void the sale, which reminds us, Renassin says, Shtus kana umaksir ona. Regarding exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but he must return the fraud amount. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Yad mocher al yona. The seller, if he's the defrauded party, has the upper hand. If he wants, he may say, give me back my merchandise and void the sale, or he can say, give me the amount you defrauded me. Rava rules like Rabbi Nassin, although the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph follows Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's opinion. So once again, the count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract. While another passenger who overpaid for headphones by exactly a sixth was given a choice to either demand a refund of the difference or void the sale. Alright, so now it's time for 4 Blot Back Chazar. Daf Mem Vav. So the Siman Daf Mem Vav is a cow because cows go moo. So here goes. The strange man in the cow costume. Cow? That must run Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The strange man in the cow costume who gave his Meister Shane to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission discussing one who wants to redeem his Meister Shane without paying the owner's surcharge of an extra fifth by giving money to his friend who will redeem the produce and return it to him. If he's at his granary and does not have money with him, he can give the produce to his friend and then redeem it with money he has at home without paying the fifth since the produce is not currently his. So the strange man in the cow costume who gave his Meister Shane to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home acquired his friend's ox, which affected a transfer for his cow, which both needed appraisal, which reminds the Mishnah's quote to call Nasim Dam Bachir anything which is used as payment for something else. Once this seller acquires it, the buyer becomes responsible for the item given in exchange because he owns it. This phrase presumably refers to coins which are used as payment and proves they can be used for chalipin. Rav Yehuda reinterpreted the Mishnah, called nishum dambach here, anything assessed when used as payment for something else, meaning all metaltalin except for coins whose value is known, can affect chalipin. This is supported by the Mishnah's illustration of exchanging an ox for a cow or a donkey for an ox. So, the strange man in the cow costume who gave his Meister Shani to his friend so he could redeem it without an extra fifth with his money at home acquired his friend's ox, which affected a transfer for his cow, which both needed appraisal. While standing near two people making chalipin exchanges of disqualified coins in cowhide purses, which reminds us, a Mishnah states that all metaltalin can acquire each other through chalipin, and Reish Lakish said, "Vafil kis mali malos, but kis mali malos." Even a purse of coins exchanged for a purse of coins is effective. This proves that coins can be used and acquired with chalipin. Rav Acha interpreted Reish Lakish's statement to refer to anka and anigra types of denarim, one of which the government disqualified and one of which the people of the province disqualified, meaning it's still legally valid, but people do not accept it. Neither is considered currency, and therefore the chalipin is effective. Daf Mem Zayin, so the simon Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The person running through the Kenyan maze, that must be more Daf Mem Zayin. The person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona, holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna, holding the kerchief, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, whose utensil is used to perform a Kenyan Chalipin? Rav says, Bekel of Shekona is performed with the utensil of the one acquiring the item by giving his kerchief, for example, to the item's current owner, because the one acquiring wants the Makna to acquire his kerchief, so he should transfer the item to him. Levi says, Bekel of Shemakna is performed with the utensil of the one transferring the item by giving his kerchief to the one acquiring the item. So, the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do a chalipin with instead, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice of Koni Bekli, one may acquire with utensil for chalipin, afu pisha em boshava pruta, even though it's not worth a pruta. Rav Nachman says the utensil is acquired for chalipin, but produce or any other non-utensil cannot affect chalipin because the pasuk says na'alo, his shoe. Teaching na'al'in with a shoe or something similar, yes, chalipin would take effect. Midi acharini, lo, but with something else, it would not. Rav Shesha says even produce may be used for chalipin, and darshens the phrase l'kayim kol davar to confirm anything, to allow a kinyan with anything. So the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do chalipin with instead, was racing against the clock to acquire a bushel of wheat with Mashiach before the seller could tell him, your wheat was burned in the attic. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amunaf taught that the acquiring of the merchandise and not the money finalizes a sale. Rabbi Yochanan says, Devar Torah Maus Konos, according to Torah law, money acquires metaltwin. The reason that the rabbi said that Mashiach and not money acquires metaltwin is, Gezer Shem Yomel Nisfifu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, a rabbinic decree because the seller might tell him, your wheat was burned in the attic. Since the wheat, which is still in the seller's possession, now belongs to the buyer, the seller has no incentive to protect it from accidental damage. They decreed that the buyer could retract from the sale until he acquires it, so the seller would labor to save him harm. Daf Mem Ches, so the same Daf Mem Ches is a brainiac. So here goes. When the brainiac, that must mean Daf Mem Ches, Moach. When that brainiac who exercises legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now is subject to a Misha Para, which reminds us, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Dalet Amunaf stated regarding one who attracts from a purchase after giving money. Of Amru, the sages said about him, Misha Parma Anshidora Mabum and Doraflagam, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion, who asli para Mishaino Omipidiburo, he will ultimately punish someone who does not keep his word. The Gemara clarifies that a Mishabar is only given when it's accompanied by a monetary payment. So, when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now was subject to a Mishabara, which included basting and cursing in themselves because he wasn't acting like Amucha, which reminds us, Abai said, that we inform him that if he retracts, he'll be subject to Mishabara, but we don't curse him. Rava says we curse him ourselves with Mishabara. Abai holds we do not curse him because the pasuk says, "Benasi ba'amcha wasar," a leader among your people you should not curse, which is also prohibited for ordinary Jews. Rava responds to the word ba'amcha, among your people, teaches that cursing is only prohibited ba'osamaisa amcha, with one who acts in accordance with your people's actions. So when the brainiac who exercises legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and was subject to a Mishapara, which included basing cursing in themselves because he wasn't acting like Amcha, his brainiac friend questioned if his down payment for the first volume acquired the whole set for a Mishapara, which reminds us the Gemara discusses if a down payment acquires equal to his value or the entire purchase in terms of incurring a Mishapara for retracting. Daf Mem Tes. So the Siman Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we often use a butcher in the Siman. So here goes. Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats. Butcher, meats, that must be more on Daf Mem Tes. Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, which reminds us, with respect to divine words, meaning verbal commitments, Rav says, Ein behem mishum mechusri amanna, retracting from them does not constitute lack of trustworthiness. But Rabbi Yochanan says it does. Rabbi Yochanan holds, one should not retract from a small gift because the recipients rely on him and he sincerely intends to give it. So bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, began buying spices with money from the spice dealer who rented space in Beresh's back room, which reminds us, in a Bryce Rabbi Shimon says, that the seller can only retract from the purchase when both the money and produce are in the seller's possession. But once the produce is in the buyer's possession, he cannot retract. The Gemara asks that this is obvious, and Rav explains, Kagon Shaisa Aliyah Sholokeach, Muskeres Biyad Mocher. It's a case where the buyer's attic was rented by the seller and his wheat was stored there. Although it's legally the seller's domain while he rents it, the wheat is physically in the buyer's house. So Beresh the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, began buying spices with money from the spice dealer who rented space in Beresh's back room, after he notes that the spice dealer from across the street was overcharging him by a sixth of the value, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ona arba kesem esrim ba arba kesem vasela. Ona is defined as 4 silver miles out of 24 silver miles of a sela, meaning shusumekach, a discrepancy of a sixth of the purchase. The Mishnah then teaches until when the defrauded party can retract or demand payment of the difference. Rav says, shusumekach shenino, a sixth of the market value of the purchase item, is what we learn in the Mishnah as the rate for Ona. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhoff from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.